Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, according to the clinical definition of alcoholism, you're either an alcoholic or you're not. But a new book, Almost Alcoholic, Is My or My Loved One's Drinking a Problem?, focuses on the millions more who fall somewhere between social drinking and blackout drinking and the number of physical and emotional issues associated with not alcoholic but still excessive drinking. Joining us now to redefine what it means to have a drinking problem and why the current diagnoses and treatments are failing to deal with it is Dr. Robert Doyle, who co-authored the new book with Joseph Nowinski. He's a clinical instructor in psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Dr. Doyle, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
So what is the difference, as simply as you can put it, between being an alcoholic and being an almost alcoholic?
Well, Brian, let me just talk about what's the same, is they both have a problem. The almost alcoholic is having a problem, but their body has and brain has not responded to the alcohol in an addictive way yet. They may be going in that path, but they haven't reached the point where if they don't have the alcohol, they have withdrawal or they've built up tolerance yet. That's one of the key differences.
Now, listeners, we're going to open the phones in this segment. Do you think that you or a loved one might be an almost alcoholic? Tell us your story or ask Dr. Doyle a question. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your comment or question to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Dr. Doyle, I feel like people are probably hearing this and picturing either college students or the happy hour crowd. But you write about people even in nursing homes who are almost alcoholics. So talk about which groups are most at risk.
Well, I think everyone is at risk. I'm today lecturing at a conference on problems in the college environment, including crimes and alcohol drug abuse. But there is a correlation there in the college population. We see that a number of people who, especially women, who use alcohol in an abusive way may not be alcoholic in college, but there's a large number who actually are more at risk for being a victim of an assault or a sexual crime because of their alcohol use. We're not saying they're alcoholic, but the alcohol has played a role in their life and caused them to be more vulnerable to this situation. But even at the far end of the spectrum, in a nursing home, the person who's had a drink or two a night for many years, as they get older, their body doesn't metabolize alcohol the same way. So they might have been a social drinker, but having the same amount of alcohol is now not being metabolized the same way and is pushing them into the almost alcoholic range and sometimes into the alcoholic range.
And you want to redefine drinking problems as a spectrum rather than a black and white issue.
This is correct. Now, I would say that when a person is alcoholic, it is, you know, sort of like having malignant cancer. It's an end-stage disease. So those people have very few choices other than to just stay off the alcohol. But as you approach that, there may be different options, and there's continuum. There's new research that's come out recently. One is about college students by, Professor Kahn and Hagman, who look at these young people in the college age, and they don't fit these black and white type of categories. They tend to be in a spectrum, sort of like a rainbow, where one color shades into another. So there's a spectrum of drinking on college campuses.
So what are you recommending? Do you believe, because as you say, the most common treatment for alcoholism is first to forego alcohol completely. So
correct,
if somebody's at various points along the spectrum toward almost alcoholic, as you call it, is total abstention necessarily the way to reverse the process?
Well, it depends on the individual. I think sometimes if you give yourself total abstention for at least a period of time, it will let you know how far into the problem you are. Usually if you're just a social drinker, it's pretty easy not to drink. But if you start to feel like it's difficult to stay off of alcohol for a day or two or three or maybe even a week, then you may be starting to have a problem. Now, there's another type of drinking that only occurs rarely, but when it happens, it's pretty intense. And, so these are the people who go to a fraternity party or a Super Bowl game. They typically don't drink during the week, or maybe only rarely that they drink, but when they do drink, it's a big problem. And we have to be careful for those. They probably haven't developed tolerance, but if they have this ability to only, this inability to stop drinking after one or two drinks, then they may be at risk for being an alcoholic. But in between there, social drinking and the more malignant form of alcoholism, there is a population that we see more often. We think that there's probably 30% more people who have the almost alcoholic type of pattern rather than the true alcoholic.
Dr. Robert Doyle, author of Almost Alcoholic, Is My or My Loved One's Drinking a Problem? And Lee in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lee.
We do think it's a problem for my nephew, who in high school just had an aversion to alcohol, went to the Coast Guard Academy, and it was every weekend. It was just that's all they seemed to know how to do out in Connecticut, and just drank. Then he went to business school afterwards. And for the last, I would say, 7 years, every single night and day, he has to have many drinks of grain alcohol. You know, we're talking about, you know, whiskey and on. And he claims he doesn't have a problem because he can, and he has maintained his jobs, school. He hasn't, you know, been, as far as we know, any shakes or, you know, falling down drunk. And so his claim is that because he's socially functioning and responsible at his tasks, that he's not an alcoholic. But we maintain he's been having a problem for a long time.
Well, this is an interesting scenario. Now, I don't want to diagnose over the phone, but I did a little training at Betty Ford Center when I was in medical school, and one of the things I remembered most from that training was that the first time a group of guys, let's say, that go out to drink, many of them will drink till they pass out, but there is one guy who drinks just as much, and he actually is the one that's kind of taking care of the other guys.
Exactly.
Interestingly, this person has actually got the highest risk for malignant alcoholism. You would think the ones that, you know, couldn't handle the alcohol, it's actually a higher risk for the person who seems to be handling it first. It creeps up, and eventually it comes and sabotages things because probably your loved one is got this makeup genetically where he metabolizes alcohol differently. It doesn't seem to hurt him now.
Then how does it sabotage him if he's high-functioning?
Well, right now he's high functioning, but as I said, like that person who on the first time they go out drinking seems to be able to handle the alcohol better, we see from studies that that's the type of person that tends to be the worst. Imagine this, one that passed out and had the bad hangovers the next day, they're going to be a little bit less likely to want to do that kind of drinking again. This person feels like, well, I can handle my alcohol. So because of the way he metabolizes, he's actually at higher risk for having the more end-stage type of alcoholism.
Lee, thank you for raising that. I think that dynamic and that tension applies to a lot of people and a lot of families. Rosemary in Glen Oak, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, my name is Rosemary, and I have find that for myself and actually for my husband, we have like 2-3 beers every single night. And sometimes my husband or even myself will start have one at 1 o'clock. And it seems to be done more as a way to relieve anxiety. But now I'm seeing a red flag because I begin to think about it at like, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not thinking about a blueberry muffin like that at 10 o'clock in the morning. So that raises a red flag to me.
I understand, and that is very good that you're recognizing that. That's one of the things we talk about in our book. Is there any change in your drinking pattern? Did you used to drink only socially, and now you find yourself drinking alone? Are you starting to think about the drink far earlier than happy hour? And that sounds like the pattern you're in, that it's starting to get on your mind a little bit earlier in the day, which means your relationship is changing. If we were talking about a romantic relationship, you would say you're falling more in love with that person. You're thinking about them all day. When it comes to alcohol, you have to start to wonder if this relationship is becoming a problem for you.
What should she or her husband do?
Well, the first thing I would suggest you do is see if you can cut back on your drinking. If that tends to be difficult for you, I would suggest you get some professional help. But the first thing to do is just try on your own. Support each other, especially you have a husband, so this is a grand opportunity for you. You all can talk about, is it helping or hurting your relationship? Is it making you healthier or harming your health? And when you come to realize how alcohol is affecting your life, you may be more inclined to want to change that relationship.
And Rosemary, again, thank you for raising that dynamic. I'm sure there are a lot of heads bobbing out there in identification with your and your husband's situation. Lisa in West Caldwell, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I'm curious because, especially considering the last comment by you, that if your alcohol is, if your consumption becomes greater and greater, that leads you to be more inclined to become alcoholic. However, in my particular situation where I do feel dependent on alcohol, I drink every single day and actually often in the morning. I am not drinking heavy duty stuff, but nonetheless, it is a daily habit. And I just wonder, would that be considered alcoholism? And I have, whereas I used to drink, you know, to excess where I could not function, now that I can function, I feel that it's not such a problem, especially because I'm no longer drinking the heavy duty stuff.
Is your perception that your alcohol habit is helping you function rather than hampering your function?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that may be the case. The question is there some other underlying thing? It sounds to me, and again, I don't want to make a comment or diagnose something since I haven't treated you, but it sounds to me that there may be something like anxiety going on in your life or some sort of stressor or even perhaps some sort of depression. One question would be, is the alcohol attempted self-medicating? If it is, then there are probably more safer ways of dealing with that. And, perhaps professional help would help with that. And the other thing would be is if you've felt like you're a daily drinker and you've ever missed a drink and you started to feel, physically very distressed, then that's a sign that you probably need professional help and might need to come off of alcohol more gradually. Sounds like you have a relationship right now in which the alcohol is helping you in some ways. My question is, are there better things that could help you? Maybe some psychotherapy or, perhaps some other kinds of group interactions that would help you talk through some of the things that the alcohol tends to be dampening right now.
Lisa, thank you for your call. We have 2 minutes left with Dr. Robert Doyle, co-author of Almost Alcoholic, Is My or My Loved One's Drinking a Problem? How does the role of habit play into this? Before you go, we recently had Charles Duhigg, author of the fascinating new book, The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business, and he was talking about how habits are formed, disrupted, and changed. How do drinking habits become automatic, and how can people change?
Oh, a very good question, Brian. I remember when I was younger, I had friends who said, well, I never smoke cigarettes unless I'm having a drink. So we start to develop these sort of rituals, maybe not intentionally, but this is just the way it happens. When these habits start to occur so frequently, the brain starts to change. Our receptors in our brain start to expect the alcohol. And when that starts to happen, we've passed pretty much over the line of almost alcoholic into alcoholism or some form of alcohol dependence. So what we need to be aware of is how necessary is alcohol to our daily life? And is it something we do for pleasure on a once-in-a-while occasion or just a little bit every day? Or is it something that we really need to get through the day? That's where the big difference is.
We have half a minute, but I'd say half the calls on the board are from people saying basically the same thing. I drink all the time, but I'm fully functional. What's your last word to them?
Well, I'm not here to bring on prohibition again, and I think every case is different. But I do think that if you look at alcohol and honestly assess your relationship with it, sometimes changing the pattern can be a more healthy way of approaching your life as well as the lives of people around you. Because remember, sometimes it's not just you. It could be people around you who are affected by the alcohol.
Dr. Robert Doyle is a clinical instructor in psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. And again, his new book is called Almost Alcoholic. Thank you so much.
Thank you.